Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we have the flight into Egypt. I don't know if you ever saw that. When I was growing up, there was a kind of a thing, God is my co-pilot. And I think Joseph could have said that. God is my co-pilot on my flight into Egypt. Well, that's a good joke, isn't it? Talk about good news, bad news. Well, so today's the, today's the fourth day of Christmas. My true love gave to me. And already, good news, bad news. Matthew, the evangelist, has swept the Holy Family up into Egypt. And we hear a wonderful, beautiful Christmas story about King Herod massacring the innocents of Bethlehem. It's enough to take you out of your two turtle dove stupor. The news for Mary and Joseph was pretty bad. Look, you gotta run away. The angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, get out of town. You got to leave. And I guess the gold, the frankincense and myrrh came in handy when you got to pay for a hotel in Egypt for a while, for who knows long, how long it would be, till the angel says, come back. But for Mary and Joseph, it wasn't as bad as for the mothers and fathers of Bethlehem, whose sons were slain. That's the world we live in. That's the world of King Herod. He was a pretty paranoid king. He murdered his own son, Antipater. If you read the book of Josephus, it tells you all about Herod. Murdering some kids in Bethlehem was nothing. He murdered his own son, Antipater, about the same time, shortly before Herod died. In fact, Herod was so wicked, according to Josephus, his plan was to gather something like 1,000 men of Judea, gather them all in the hippodrome where they had the horse races, and then because he knew that nobody cared for him, but he wanted people crying during his funeral, he would have all those men killed so that there would be crying in the land during his funeral. How wicked is that? Of course, once he was gone, they didn't do that. But that's Herod. They called him Herod the Great. I guess he called himself that, Herod the Great, because he built a lot of stuff. But he was a pretty wicked man, paranoid. So you could see why I don't know if you can see how he could do this, but he was very ruthless. It's shocking to us, we who expect those in authority to protect the littlest and the least among us. It's hard for us to hear otherwise. But back to our text from Matthew, he gives us a lot of movement. There's a lot of movement in the text from Bethlehem to Egypt to Judea and then up to Galilee to Nazareth. And all of this surrounds this baby Jesus who was just carried along to all these places. God goes with you. And Matthew takes time to point out these prophetic reverberations. All of this is prophesied. He says, out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea says that. Hosea 11:1. He says, out of Egypt I called my son. What does that mean? That means God is saying, I called my son Israel out of Egypt. And now he is calling his own son because Israel failed as a nation to follow God. He calls his own son, Israel reduced to one, humanity, you could say, us reduced to one because we fail. Maybe we don't murder hundreds of people like Herod. Maybe we don't murder our own son. Jesus says, if you hate your brother, it's the same thing. John says, if you don't forgive your brother, you hate him. You're not part of the kingdom of God. But these prophetic reverberations that Matthew's talking about, that are all fulfilled in Jesus, that Jesus is going to be despised, a despised person from Nazareth. When he grows up, they say, nothing good can come from Nazareth. And as Isaiah foretells how he's going to be despised, he's despised even in his own hometown. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we do that. We despise our own family sometimes. Certainly the people in our hometown. If you watch the news, there's so much despising going on. It's like we're calling everybody else a Nazarene. Well, there's some irony here. New Testament scholar Mark Allen Powell notes these parallels from the flight into Egypt. He says, Matthew tells the story of the Holy Family's flight to Egypt with incredible irony. In the Exodus story, babies are slaughtered in Egypt by the wicked king, the wicked Pharaoh. But now righteous Jews must flee to Egypt to escape a massacre of infants in their own land. It's not, of course, a detour without precedent. Another Joseph, who is also guided by God through dreams, once brought his family here. And as it turns out, Jesus' sojourn is a brief one. One might say that Matthew's Jesus will rise from Egypt, just like Moses, and bring deliverance. Bring the people out of slavery. Bring us out of slavery from our sin and our despising tendencies. But there's no stranger, there's no one left behind from Jesus' messianic promise. What he fulfills is for all people of all time, including you and me. And of course, when the angel tells Joseph, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the life, his life are dead. Well, Herod's dead. And Archelaus is there and Joseph says, well, I'm going to go up to Galilee. I'm not going back to Judea. Archelaus is just as bad as his dad. He eventually dies and gets replaced by the Romans. Well, Jesus is taken back to Israel, to a backwater of it, Nazareth. But he's going there for the same purpose. Those who wanted Jesus dead are just replaced by others who want Jesus dead. He goes back to Israel. He goes back to Judea. He goes back to Jerusalem because he's going to the cross. That's his purpose. That is his messianic purpose. And nothing is going to stop that. Just as nothing stopped God's purpose, Herod couldn't stop God's purpose. Because God's purpose was salvation. Salvation through this little baby, Jesus, whose name means he saves. He comes to save. And he comes to save in extraordinary and unusual and way unexpected ways. So that he comes from Nazareth. so that he goes to a cross to save you and me. Where he is despised on the cross by all the people there. That you and I may live. He comes into a world of sin and death, and you don't get much more death than the killing of infants. What's worse than that? That is what Christ enters purposely, purposefully for you and for me. Because all of our lives, all the sin that we commit, it all focuses and ends in what that horrible thing we call death. That's what he enters for you and for me, to raise us out of it. As we sang in that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that the sons of earth may rise again to new life. And he says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. Abundantly. Just as he brings peace, that is not merely the kind of peace that we experience in this world as the absence of war, but something that is filled with his Holy Spirit, filled with love and friendship and purity and holiness. That is the peace that he gives you. And he forgives you. And that forgiveness is not just the absence of sin. It is that. But he fills you with his Holy Spirit that you may have joy and life and that peace that we just talked about. And you can have it now in Christ. And he brings you life. And life that's not just the absence of death, but something that means something. Purpose. Life with purpose. That purpose is to know who God is. To praise him. To understand that you are a wonderful created being. Created by the most powerful being in the universe. To live. And to experience things. And he delights in that. And you get to experience each other. And live in that and experience that and have peace in that and have joy in that. That is what it means to live abundantly. Brothers and sisters in Christ. The salvation that God is bringing through this little baby Jesus is unstoppable. And no King Herod is going to stop it. And no king of this earth who lives however long, no matter how many people he can kill, no matter how many Christians are persecuted or killed, and even if it's you, you can't stop God. You can't stop God's salvation. He accomplishes it. He accomplishes it through Jesus on the cross in his resurrection and in your baptism so that you know it applies to you. And you can taste it today in Holy Communion. The incarnate God comes to you to bring you forgiveness, life, and salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his holy name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.